Father God, we thank you for that firm foundation of your word, that we can rely upon every word that you have spoken. And we ask that as we turn to your word now, you would minister that word to our hearts and our minds, to our inmost being, that we might be people who take you at your word, who trust your word in every moment of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We are living through strange and unusual times. So much of what we take for granted is being removed. Our calendars have been radically changed. Some of us are trying to work in a whole new way, trying to keep peace at the other end of the room. For some, there are very pressing and serious financial challenges. Things that we took for granted, like seeing our friends and our family, are now far more difficult. When we go to the shop, we find empty shelves, and we're counting the number of loo rolls we've got left. And then there is our health, something that many of us assume we're entitled to. And now we find it threatened. And for some, of course, this epidemic is a matter of our very lives. Well, it is for such challenging times that God has given us Psalm 46. It is for these times that this psalm is here in our Bibles. A time when everything becomes very different. When, as verse 2 says, the earth gives way. When the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. A time of complete upheaval. When things we've taken for granted are removed. After all, mountains are things that we don't expect to change. Some of you perhaps have a view of the edge from your house. And it's always there. It never moves. And yet here is a time when those mountains, those certainties, have fallen into the sea. Exams are cancelled. Pension funds are collapsing. Life itself is snatched away. Angry waters roar and foam. Waters, that is, representing fear and chaos and danger, are foaming. So all that we most relied on has gone. All we most feared is happening. This psalm is written for today. It shows an unflinching reality about the uncertainties of life. But it also has an equally unflinching hope, an unshakable confidence in a time of crisis. He says, we will not fear. He says, verse 5, God is within her, she will not fall. Remarkable confidence. And that same confidence is the birthright, the proper possession of every believer, every Christian. We can say, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Everything else may disappear, but God is. It's repeated through this psalm. Verse 5. God is within her. He is with his people. Verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. That's God's special covenant name. God has eternally bound himself to be with his people. God is our refuge. Now, refuge is a place of shelter from danger. One of those mountain huts where walkers and climbers can shelter in a sudden blizzard. God is our refuge and strength. So God is present with his people both to protect and to strengthen, both to defend and to advance. In the Second World War, the Eighth Army was continually having to retreat across the desert of North Africa. when General Montgomery joined them, he found the atmosphere was very negative. Everyone was despairing. He declared that there would be no more retreat. Instead of thinking negatively, they were going to think positively. They were going to advance. Just now, many are despairing. And we can understand that. Jobs at risk. Bills to be paid. But the Christian can be different. God is our refuge and strength. He's with his people to protect us, to strengthen us, even through the time of crisis. Notice the emphasis on God himself here. He's given us many things, hasn't he? He's given us his word. He's given us each other, and that's very precious this morning. He's given us a noble task. But none of those is the refuge. That's God himself. Our security is in God alone. Perhaps that's one of the lessons that these times will be teaching us. Perhaps this crisis is forcing us back onto the right path, teaching us once again what really matters, where true security is found, when everything else is snatched away. The psalmist doesn't say, life's not so bad. Rather, he says, God is stronger, so we will not fear. This is a psalm to strengthen our shaky foundations, to renew faltering hearts. It's not asking us to close our eyes to the chaos around us. Rather, it's asking us to open our eyes to the even more solid reality of God. A God who's not taken by surprise by any of this. A God who's a sure and certain refuge, a help in times of trouble. And so he says, I will not fear. This is not the fragile confidence of a man closing his eyes to reality, burying his head in the sand. No, this is the bedrock certainty we can have by opening our eyes to the protection the Lord gives. These times are showing us that we all need a refuge. And if that's not Jesus, what other refuge is there? So he's pictured the Lord as a mountain refuge. But what is life like inside this refuge? Is it simply a place where believers can escape and hang on grimly until the end comes? Are Christians just to close their eyes, sit tight and wait for heaven? No. The picture becomes a city, verse 4. A city with a river running through it. Well, a city with a river would be able to keep going, would be able to thrive, even when the battle was raging, even through the time of crisis. Now, the image of a life-giving river runs through the Bible. The Garden of Eden had a river that watered the land and produced the fruits. In the last book of the Bible, the New Jerusalem has the river of life flowing from the throne. Those rivers are symbolic of God's presence and God's provision for his people. It's the same picture that Jesus used when he met the woman at the well in John chapter 4 and promised that she would never thirst again because he would give her a living water, a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That's the reality for all Christians. God living within us through his Spirit. We know the presence of God. This city is the city of God. The holy place where the Most High dwells, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. When the night has run its course, when the crises have taken their allotted time, then a new day dawns. The time of God's deliverance will arrive. Verse 6. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. In the Old Testament, nations were frequently in uproar around Jerusalem, besieging the city. God dwelt in the midst of his people in Jerusalem. And he does so today, no longer a geographical location, but a worldwide church, the presence of God with his people. He only needs to lift his voice, and the earth melts. So he's well able to deliver his people. As it says here, God is within her. She will not fall. That's the same promise Jesus made when he said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. We may see the church beset by all kinds of problems, even not being able to physically meet together. But we can say, God is within her. She will not fall. God is present with his people, both to protect and to provide. In Christ, we're not only offered a refuge, we're also given joy and life. Just as a river waters trees along its banks so that they bear fruit, so the Spirit of God amongst his people makes us fruitful too. To be a Christian is not to retreat away, even if some of us are having to self-isolate at the moment. It is to be most truly alive, to be the people God made us to be, enjoying his presence. And so this man celebrates. He celebrates God's protection and his presence. Verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. There could hardly be a stronger picture of God. Lord Almighty could be translated Lord of the Angel Armies. Whatever image that conjures up for you, it will never be too large, never be too powerful, never be too majestic for our God. A time like this, we need to feel the immensity, the power, the glory of our God. And then say to ourselves, this is the God who is with us. The psalm concludes with an invitation. Verse 8, come and see the works of the Lord. Actually, it's a bit stronger than an invitation. It's an imperative. It's a command. Come and see. Behold the works of the Lord. What he has done and what he will yet do. All wars will be ended. Every conflict ceased. Every tool of war will be broken. And every weapon of destruction will be shattered. This is ultimate and perfect peace. A peace brought about by not by sitting down at a table and finding a settlement that is agreeable to everyone. Oh no, not that. This peace is brought about by the Lord's unstoppable judgment, his guaranteed victory. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth, said the Lord. One day the wicked will be destroyed. One day all evil will be defeated. And then there will be peace perfect peace. Never again will someone made in the image of God suffer abuse at the hands of another. Never again will people made in the image of God be racially abused. Never again will people made in the image of God drown in the sea because they're not welcomed by a neighbouring country. Never again will the unborn, the disabled, and the elderly have their lives taken from them by those who find them inconvenient. Never again will prayers need to be offered for those who are sick or anxious. Never again will the unjust and the corrupt gain power and use it for their own ends. That's where history is going, and no virus can disrupt it. We've had our diaries completely rearranged by this pandemic, but that's never going to happen to God. Nothing will disrupt what he will do, this glorious future that he will bring. But this future should also cause us to tremble. We have that same wickedness in our own hearts. All of us by nature have taken up arms against our Creator and deserve the might of his judgment. When he says, "Be still and know that I am God," it's not a call to quiet contemplation. It's actually a call to the world to lay down their arms, a call to surrender, to submit to the one true God. If we have come to God as refuge, then we will stand on that day, that final day, because Jesus Christ has died in our place. No other reason. And we need to tell those who've not yet bowed their knee to Jesus. Anyone listening to this? God gives us fair warning. He says to you today, be still, cease the rebellion, come to Jesus, and find refuge in him before it's too late. For God will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in all the earth. The future is not about humankind's hopes and aspirations, but about God's glory. Sooner or later, God will be exalted among the nations. The sight of this future gives hope to God's people. Human empires might rise and fall. There will be times of great upheaval. There will be times of peace. There will be plagues and pestilence. But one thing is certain. God's kingdom will stand. Justice will prevail. God will triumph. Christ will reign. And so that refrain returns with added force at the end of the psalm. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The God who is with us, the God who protects and provides for his people, is the one who will be exalted over all the nations. When we say, God is our refuge and strength, it is this God we are speaking about. The Lord of angel armies. So should we not be confident? Shouldn't we be unshakable, even in the current crisis? Yes, it will sadden us. Yes, there might be great pain to come. But we do not need to fear. We do not need to be anxious. Every Christian can say, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. John Wesley remembered this psalm on his deathbed when he said, best of all, God is with us. Let's pray.